Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, like a book club for people who hate reading. This month we're doing Grab Bag, so Ryan, a.k.a. James, picked the movie The Italian Job, made in 1969. This week we also do Season 1, Episode 1 of the TV show Penny Dreadful. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevenson, and Ryan Preston. Here's the description of The Italian Job, 1969. Emphasis on the 1969. This does not have a marquee.
It was a great year.
Comic caper movie about a plan to steal a gold shipment from the streets of Turin by creating a traffic jam.
Yeah, that sums it up pretty nicely.
Actually, for once, it's okay.
I'll jump on board as far as my pick on what it's going to be. I'm giving it a 4 out of 5. I mean, for me, it's a straightforward story. So that to me is where it comes from. And for me, it's a fairly enjoyable ride between the point A to point B.
I give it a 3. For me, I wouldn't say a strong 3, but it's a 3.
Okay.
Ryan?
A very weak 3.
Okay.
So I'll give my reasons. And because if you've been watching the show, if there's anybody watching, are you out there?
Anybody? Hi. Person.
Hi, Mom.
Love us.
Or Ryan's mom.
Yeah, I was going to say Ryan's mom, probably. Hi.
Honestly, for me, my biggest problem is I'm not a big fan of comedies, really. And this is pretty much, to me, this is slapstick with cars.
Okay.
Overall, it was an okay story. Seeing Michael Caine as a young Michael Caine was
very
kinda
young.
Like,
Michael Caine, he
you
was like
kind of shocked me.
12.
So he's apparently not one of those actors who's apparently always been old.
Like Tom Hanks.
True. He looked really old in Bosom Buddies.
Yeah, and in Big.
I'm a big fan of the cars. I love the car scene. Overall, it was very straightforward. Wasn't a whole lot of story to this?
By the car scene, did you mean the half the movie that was the car scene?
No, I loved all the cars in the movie.
The cars, plural.
I'm a big
car guy. You said I liked the car scene.
Yeah, that's pretty much anything with cars in it was the only good part.
Okay. Well,
that was pretty much half the movie.
Yeah, so I was going to say you basically enjoyed 3/4 of this film.
Hey, I also described a Bourne movie, and that was probably half of it.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. The most recent one was
car chases did ramp up.
Ultimatum.
One of them. Definitely the one with Jeremy Renner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Overall, I was impressed because of the era. I mean, there's definitely a product of its time. A lot of 60s movies generally are.
Yeah.
So for the time, I was impressed for what they did. Overall, this is no Bullet.
Were you expecting it to be?
Here's the problem, is I saw the original with Marky Mark, and that one takes itself a little too serious.
Hold on. You just said the original with Marky Mark. No, that was not the original. This is the original.
Well, the reason I'm saying the original is the only thing that's similar between the two movies is the minis and the gold. That's it. There's nothing. So really, these are just two different movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one both with absurd heist movies.
The one with Marky Mark takes itself too seriously, but I love the car chase scene. It's one of the reasons, for example, I watched Gone in 60 Seconds, because it's not Nick Cage.
Yeah, you know what would have been fun about the car scene? If I actually saw the fucking Jaguars or the Aston Martin DB4 race versus the damn Mini Coopers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The least cars, on the one car on the planet I would least like to see race something.
So I actually watched when that happened. I'm like, oh God, yes! And my wife's like, what? It's like, that's an Aston Martin. It's like, what's that? That's the James Bond car of the 60s. That is an amazing car. And then what do? They knock it off a cliff. The one car, I like Ryan, I was like, yes! Something fast and fun and not a Mini Cooper.
If it makes any difference to you, it really wasn't an Aston Martin they flung over the cliff.
I hope not. Okay. Even in the 60s, they couldn't have afforded to do that to that car.
Okay, I'm going to give my reason. Okay, for me, I saw the Marky Mark Italian Job first. I knew this one existed. I just never watched it. I watched the one with Marky Mark, and I didn't like it at all. So I watched this one, and I'm like, wow, this one's a lot better. And I love the fact that, I love how they ended it. They didn't actually, there wasn't a real ending written for it. So this was one that they kind of did on the fly at the end of the film. They're just kind of like, well, we'll go this route. And I love that they left it open with, like, you don't know if they even got the gold. It looks like they're not going to get it. See, so I like that as an ending. I like them kind of getting screwed over by an idiot driver. Honestly, a really dumb driver.
I agree with you on that one, man. That's actually might be the redeeming part of the movie, really. Aside from the actors, which of course are great. Although you really only give a shit about two of the characters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone else seemed to have just been thrown really haphazardly right into the middle of the story. Like, and by the way, there's these guys, you know? I liked the ending. It kind of harkened back to the original Ocean's 11.
Yep. Where the money got burned in a coffin. We will do that movie later.
If anybody ever hasn't seen the original Ocean's 11, one of the best endings in cinema history.
I would think one of the reasons for me personally why I wasn't big on this is I'm not big on comedies and I'm a more action movie guy. So the
I think they sucked ass at the comedy in this movie, though.
Yeah, that was it. I would say,
like, I don't think it was just you not liking comedies. I think this was the movie's fault.
I would say, for one, it's definitely, I'd say, kind of British 60s humor a little bit.
No, because Monty Python was around but that's, time, too.
I would say Monty Python is, it's Monty Python, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's all of British humor would be Monty Python.
Okay.
Well, the humor seemed kind of stoic, and most of the movie sort of did also. I didn't know what tone they were trying to set. And then the score and the music was just fucking bizarre.
The Keystone Cops. That's the thing that kind of got to me. It was a lot of slapstick with cars and a lot of over the top, and it's just not my flavor of over the top. One of the reasons I like the one with Mark Wahlberg is it's over the top, and it's my particular flavor of genre of a movie being mindless action.
Well, you know what irritates me about movies like this is, bottom line, you have to make a halfway decent heist movie. You know, if the heist movie part of your movie isn't good, it just, you know, it could be fun, but we're into like this, like it might as well be about teenagers doing it, you know, if it's just going to be that absurd.
I will say it is refreshing not to have advertisements in a movie. If you watched the one with Mark Wahlberg, there's a Pepsi Blue ad right in the middle of the movie. And if you don't know what Pepsi Blue is, look it up, because it wasn't around for very long afterwards.
Come on, if I haven't looked this up, but I would bet money that BMW put up quite a bit of coin to finance the 2003 version with Marky Mark.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they did. Yeah. This one
seemed to be made almost specifically because they made the Mini Cooper again.
There was it wasn't Mini. There was another car company. It was the Fiat. Apparently, gave a bunch of cars to the movie, which I thought was
this one,
which was really cool. I mean.
But they didn't use Fiats, and they actually were getting turned down on having any Mini Coopers donated or given to this film at all. And the director actually pretty much spent money on getting Mini Coopers because he wanted to be a British film. The interesting thing for me on this one is that the Italian authorities wouldn't shut down any traffic or any roadway for the film.
I'm not surprised by that.
The Italian mob stepped up and did it for them. So the Italian mob got into this film and actually shut down parts of the road for them. And certain scenes, pretty much all the traffic jam scenes, were legitimately done by the Italian mafia. So the actual people sitting in traffic were literally sitting in traffic because this film was gone. I love that fact about this film.
I will say,
by the way, the Italian mafia that was in the movie, was that the mafia or the Sioux Nation?
You know, I kind of thought the same thing, but, you know, with the suits, that doesn't really go with the Sioux Nation, so maybe
But seriously, it's like they got the Persian immortals to stand up there.
Oh, yeah.
You're into a puff of smoke and shit.
That
the
was
the weirdest display of power I've ever seen in a movie.
It was so retarded, that part, but it was laughable to me.
I would say the one part of the movie that really stands out as out of flavor of this movie is the scene where the Italian mob guy was going to kill him. And then Michael Caine came up and threatened to basically kill all the Italians. Like, okay, this has this is starting to have a really good movie. And then that's the only scene where you really see that depth, that particular flavor, and it turns into a really weird movie.
So, okay, let me ask you guys that real quick. You guys hadn't seen this flick prior to this week, right?
I never have. James has.
I've seen it before.
Oh, you have? Okay, well, yeah. I hadn't seen it, you know, obviously, I'd seen the 03 version before this one. I had just recently seen this. Actually, I was kind of happy you picked it just because it's sort of been on my list for a while. Huh. What was going through your head that opening scene?
I was thinking
when the guy going down the road. Okay, that's the credits. But then the opening scene, he's going through the tunnel, he crashes into the thing, and then gets pushed down a mountain.
Yeah.
What was going through your mind there?
Well, part of my mind is I was thinking, you know, maybe a little James Bond-ish, a little kind of misdirection. You know, maybe he somehow escaped. You know, something along those lines. And because it was really kind of, they blew their load awfully fast for that scene. I mean, it was like,
well, the reason I'm asking is because the whole time, wondering, just like it was 5 minutes going on here.
Yeah.
It was basically,
like, it was out of nowhere. There was a car accident. Okay, that's weird. Okay, what is this, a funeral going on? That's a bizarre place to have a funeral. Wait, why are they just putting that guy's car down the thing? Where'd the laurel come from?
There was no point to it at all.
It was just like the most non-understood scene ever. I thought I was on an acid trip.
Because the only point
we need
of,
to pick Cool World for you again.
Oh, fuck you. The only point of that movie, that particular scene, was so they could use it as a device to tell the later on a story. And that's it. There was much better ways they could have done it besides the fact they just wanted to show a Lamborghini driving through the Italian
country. Like, yeah,
that was like the best car in the whole film, too.
Yeah. You see a random guy get murdered. Okay, that's one thing. But I don't even know what I saw happen to this guy. Like, as far as I knew, he was in a car wreck, and the happenstance that there was like a funeral happening on that road or something. That's what it looked like, honestly. Like,
that's exactly what it was.
By the way, I love your description, the Persian immortals, because that's really what they were. Yeah. They just stood there, their arms forward, you know.
All of them holding a gun. One of them standing in a little waterfall.
Popping out of the ethereal.
It
was just very, very, very bizarre.
Yeah, I agree. That was a very strange way to open the film. You know, I read some of the trivia on it, and it really was a haphazardly put together film.
Oh, you can tell.
Like, when even Michael Caine was not he couldn't drive at the time. He wasn't allowed to drive. And the one scene where they elude him driving, if you pay attention, all you see is him getting out of a stationary vehicle. He literally did not drive throughout this entire film. And the scene where they're in the garage and he's randomly talking to this guy about his car that's been sitting there, the whole thing had no point, really. It didn't.
No, because he took something that out whole, of the he took something
he
out of
pickpocketed him and paid him back with his own money.
Wow.
That whole scene was improvised, so they didn't even have a script for that. So it's a really haphazardly put together film. One thing I like about the film is that it's so direct on point A to point B. That was the entire thing.
Yeah,
there really
it was
wasn't anything else.
Even for the time,
I would say the other part of the other part was how they got certain people. Like, the only character they really explained anything about, and I mean anything,
was the professor guy,
was the computer expert, and he got arrested after he did everything. So why did you spend all this time, all this exposition on a character that was a very ancillary throwaway character? That makes no sense.
I mean, not only throwaway,
but they literally threw him away.
Yeah. Yeah, literally. They pretty much said, hey, go, you know, we're going to get you some fat chicks. And then he found his own fat chick.
Yeah, picture wrap everybody on Benny Hill. Let's thank him for coming down for the afternoon.
Yeah, pretty much. But, I mean, I like this one a lot better than the Marky Mark one. I
and
did
that's just
not
saying how much how shitty the Marky Mark one
exactly
was.
I mean, because I didn't like it at all, like any of it.
I like the Mark Wahlberg version because it was a mindless action movie instead of a mindless comedy, which this was. No, it was mindless. This had no point. The Mark
it was,
Wahlberg
it actually this one was mindless. The 03 one was like negative mind.
Yeah.
I would say
it was anti-mind.
No, I mean, the only thing that film had going for it wasn't the Jim Carrey and his Dumb and Dumber friend.
I would say this the Mark Wahlberg the one actually thing? Made sense compared what? To what they do in this
made
movie.
Made sense?
Well, like, seriously, they have the scenes hell? That don't tie into other parts of the movie. They're using it as, they use one little 5-10 minute scene in the beginning of the movie where you should be explaining things.
Well,
to basically use a device. They have characters that they spend time explaining, then throw them away. This movie was put together so haphazard that I doubt the director really knew what he was
doing.
Well,
let me just put it this way.
He must have been stoned.
I was less bored with this one than I was with the Marky Mark one.
Well, yes, because you were trying to figure out what the fuck did I just say and why this guy just got thrown away when he was so important to the story.
Oh, I didn't care.
Yeah, no, I didn't care about anybody, really, in the movie. But like James said, I mean, this was point A to point B. I mean, it was both movies are actually right out of just the filmmaking handbook.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. This is how to make a movie, and that was true for the 1969 one, and then everything was updated for the 03 version. So the story itself was a little more nuanced and complicated. The friend betrays them, and that it was all those tropes that we were used to at the time.
Yeah.
But this one wasn't exactly breaking new ground, you know. Like James said, it wasn't Bullet. You know, or John. You know, so, and then not to mention the car chases were fun. All the cop had to do was block off the one ramp leading up to that building.
Yeah.
Chase over. So you can't have this perfect plan. Hey, I got everything worked out, and then all this shit's left up to chance.
And that whole scene, they did that on a building, a Fiat. That was one of their buildings that they're like, yeah, go ahead and use it.
Yeah, that racetrack is actually on the Fiat building at the top story.
Yeah.
So I'll stay with 3 out of 5. I don't think it deserves it. I think it's very weak. There's really not a whole lot about this movie I like. The traffic scene I liked, you know, because I love what all the Italians doing. The guy's trying to talk with the girl slaps him, all this. Overall, 3 out of 5. I think 3 out of 5 is more than it deserves, but I'll still give it 3 out of 5. James?
You know, you guys actually have brought up a lot of points on this one. I'm actually dropping it down a point. And one of the things that I just thought of is maybe the reason why I like this one and gave it an initial point more than I would because of how shitty the 2003 one was. And then you go and watch this one, and you're like, why the fuck would you waste your time remaking a shitty film?
Because at least Mini Cooper?
Yeah, I mean, like, because they remade the Mini Cooper, and that gives you a whole idea to make a new film?
At least, I don't know. I was going to say, I still like the Mark Wahlberg one better. Not by much, but I still think it's a better movie. Not by much. The only difference is, actually, no, I think this fits for both. They're very both products of their time.
Yeah.
And this one especially is a very 60s movie.
And I have a premonition. I think Ryan drops his down by half a point, at least.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. John talked me into it when you started talking. But yeah, I mean, it's a couple of good lines. You know, you were supposed to blow the doors off.
Which became an iconic line.
Really good. And hey, I got a good idea or great idea, whatever that was there at the end. Good stuff, good moments. The ending was
the best part of the film.
Yeah, it was the best part of the movie, but I like that ambiguous ending for this one. You know, the 03 went for the straight up cheap, they all get away with it and live happily ever after ending.
Yeah.
But no, the actor, I mean Michael Caine, but nothing really rewatchable about this movie at all.
Yeah,
I saw it back then and were nostalgic for it.
Unless, you know, you're with a group of people and you're all drunk, maybe redeeming somehow. I don't recommend it. Ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. Just a movie you want us to do. Do you love us, hate us, blah, blah, blah. Hey, how about donating to old Real Flix Reviews to help keep the line on?
That's Butcha.
And you can also catch us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and more. So the TV show we did this week was Penny Dreadful, and it's pretty much the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, but without a submarine or a crazy captain.
You know,
I like it though, but that's pretty much it. It's the same cast of characters, minus Huckleberry Finn.
I actually really like Timothy Dalton in this one. I mean, I was not a fan of his James Bonds, but they were better than the Pierce Brosnan ones. But
he plays a really good angry character.
He does, and that's the reason why I didn't think he ever made a great Bond, is because Bond wasn't that angry all the time. He was more getting drunk and laid. How can you...
And
be
somehow
pissed off all the time for getting drunk and light and
somehow,
killing people.
And somehow still saving the world between trisks.
And I also like Josh Harnett. I mean, we've seen him in a few different things. We did a movie that he was in, Sin City. He was the man. That's actually the name of the character. You know, and I liked Ava Green, which was another Bond girl. But I don't like her in this show.
Why not?
I don't like her character. I'm actually giving this whole show another go because I actually she was the psychic or lady, the medium lady, you know, the
oh yes.
So she was in the new Bond with Daniel Craig in the first one he did.
Vanessa Ives.
Yeah, Casino Royale. But you know, so I like the main cast, and it's also they have the original girl from Doctor Who. I can't think of her name right now. Not the original Doctor Who, but the remake of it. The main character, female character in
Billy Piper.
Thank you.
He played Rose.
Yeah, and so I mean, there's a lot of great actors in this one. But I lost interest about the fourth episode the first time I tried this one.
I would definitely agree with that. I was originally excited because of the characters who were in it. It was like, okay, there's Dorian Gray, there's this girl. So I start, you know, picking everybody out, and then all of a sudden I find myself going, I wonder what's on eBay. And it's just
You kind of lose interest after a little while, which how many seasons are they up to? Three?
Which I don't know.
Yeah, I just had that. They're going to be starting season 3 next month.
So the question is, whose fault is that? Is that the movies? Is it the directing? Or the fact that this might have done better?
Is why I lost interest four episodes in is because they're trying to tie in so much.
Yeah.
They're trying to tie in Frankenstein, Frankenstein's monster, Dorian Gray, werewolves, vampires, psychics, mediums.
Yeah, which is very cool, but you can get...
Pace yourselves.
Yeah, pace yourself. Freaking pace yourself. It was what I said about Smallville, Gotham, you know... Yeah. Man, I had another one in my head. But yeah, I mean, no, this one is absolutely a victim of you're trying to throw everything in there at once.
What channel is this on?
This is HBO.
Supernatural did it pretty good. They really ramped into the nonsense after a while, but it took them a while.
Yeah.
See, it's just...
You know, but no, for the record, I love Ava Green.
I did too.
I've been a huge fan of her since Casino Royale, and she really lends herself to that costume and that character. Just her voice, her mannerisms. She can do any Victorian London kind of thing, and I'm in. But I like seeing her in modern day stuff too. She's a wonderful actress.
She is.
I just think the first
couple episodes with her character, I think she overacted certain areas.
I don't know about overacted. I just think they wanted her to do too much.
Mm. Right. I think that's what I more or less was going to say. It's her character that's just sort of this crazy larger than life thing.
That could be it. Yeah.
And I do
because I just recently watched her in the Mrs. Peregrine's School for Peculiar Children.
Yeah.
Same kind of character more or less.
The thing I really don't understand with HBO, Showtime, Netflix. All these TV shows have a chance to do different storytelling. It's almost like they're still playing to the alphabet channels.
Mm.
And I think this thing is a victim of that because I think you could have done a much more slow burn of a movie, had Frankenstein's monster, you know, come who came back. You could have told that story. yeah. for an entire season. Then you could have the next one. You could have build and you could have build and maybe five seasons later have this amazing ending thing. Instead, if you literally blew five seasons worth of stuff in five episodes.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem. I think that is the biggest problem with this show, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think as far as it is, I mean, if you're a fan of the old school horror stuff, it's worth a watch to see if you get into it. Like I said, I'm going to give it another try because watching the first episode again, because I watched it when it aired, when it initially came out, and I think it was like four or five episodes in, I started losing way too much interest and never got back to it.
I'd say give it six episodes. If you can make it through six episodes, I think you're good.
If you're one of those people that likes the, hey, I know that character moment, you'll have 100 of those.
Yeah. Yeah, you will. But yeah. I'm a fan of all the black and whites. I actually bought Van Helsing, racist, this one for like all, because it came with all the original black and whites. I mean, it was like five movies for the price of
so
one.
So
I mean,
we're running a little late. So next week is our theater pick, and because all the news
because of life,
all the newspapers and all the apps aren't really working for us for some reason. We're all gonna hopefully see the same movie, because if we don't, you're gonna get a very interesting Netflix reviews next week. So we're gonna try to see
John Wick 2.
Hopefully,
My dog.
If not, you're going to get a very random episode.
Yeah, and the TV episode that we're going to be doing is a brand new show that just recently aired, Taboo Season 1, Episode 1.
Ooh, changing it up a little.
So, yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I gave The Italian Job in 1969 a 3 out of 5. James gave it a 3 out of 5. Ryan gave it a much-deserved 2.5 out of 5. And as always, thank you for watching.
Goodbye.